He pulled his feet down off the table and leaned forward over the desk, inching the telephone receiver inexorably back towards its cradle. "As always, the very greatest pleasure to speak with you, Mrs. Sorskind. For now, goodbye." He at last put down the receiver, picked it up again, and dropped it for the moment into the wastepaper basket. "My dear Richard Macduff," he said, producing a large flat box from under his desk and pushing it across the table at him, "your pizza." Richard stared back in astonishment. No thanks," he said. "I had breakfast. Please, you have it." Dirk shrugged. "I told them you'd pop in and settle up over the weekend," he said. "Welcome, by the way, to my offices." He waved a vague hand around the tatty surroundings. "The light works," he said, indicating the window. "The gravity works," he said, dropping a pencil on the floor. "Anything else we have to take our chances with." Richard cleared his throat. "What," he said, "is this?"
"What is what?"
"This," exclaimed Richard, "all this, you appear to have a holistic detective agency, and I don't even know what one is." "I provide a service that is unique in the world," said Dirk. "The term holistic refers to my conviction that what we are concerned with here is the fundamental interconnectedness of..." "Yes, I got that bit earlier," said Richard. "I have to say that it sounded a bit like an excuse for exploiting gullible old ladies." "Exploiting?" asked Dirk. "Well, I suppose it would be if anybody ever paid me, but I do assure you, my dear Richard, that there never seems to be the remotest danger of that. I live in what are known as hopes. I hope for fascinating and remunerative cases. My secretary hopes that I will pay her. Her landlord hopes that she will produce some rent. The electricity board hopes that he will settle their bill, and so on. I find it a wonderfully optimistic way of life. Meanwhile, I give a lot of charming and silly old ladies something to be happily cross about, and virtually guarantee the freedom of their cats. Is there, you ask, and I put the question for you, because I know you know I hate to be interrupted, is there a single case that exercises the tiniest part of my intellect, which, as you hardly need me to tell you, is prodigious? No. But do I despair? Am I downcast? Yes. Until," he added, "today." "Oh, well, I'm glad of that," said Richard. "But what was all that rubbish about cats and quantum mechanics?" With a sigh, Dirk flipped open the lid of the pizza with a single flick of practiced fingers. He surveyed the cold round thing with a kind of sadness and then tore off a hunk of it. Pieces of pepperoni and anchovy scattered over his desk. "I am sure, Richard," he said, "that you are familiar with the notion of Schrödinger's cat," and he stuffed the larger part of the hunk into his mouth.
Of course," said Richard, "well, reasonably familiar."
"What is it?" said Dirk through a mouthful. Richard shifted in his seat. "It's an illustration," he said, "of the principle that at a quantum level all events are governed by probabilities." "At a quantum level, and therefore at all levels," interrupted Dirk, "though at any level higher than the subatomic, the cumulative effect of those probabilities is, in the normal course of events, indistinguishable from the effect of hard and fast physical laws. Continue." He put some more cold pizza into his face. Richard reflected that Dirk's was a face into which too much had already been put. What with that and the amount he talked, the traffic through his mouth was almost incessant. His ears, on the other hand, remained almost totally unused in normal conversation. It occurred to Richard that if Lamarck had been right, and you were to take a line through this behaviour for several generations, the chances were that some radical replumbing of the interior of the skull would eventually take place. Richard continued, "Not only are quantum-level events governed by probabilities, but those probabilities aren't even resolved into actual events until they are measured, or, to use a phrase I just heard you use in a rather bizarre context, the act of measurement collapses the probability waveform. Up until that point, all the possible courses of action open to, say, an electron coexist as probability waveforms. Nothing is decided until it's measured." Dirk nodded. "More or less," he said, taking another mouthful. "But what of the cat?"